Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to We're Hit Radio, friends. My name is Mark Matheny, and today is the 29th of December. I want to start right off with talking about a report from RT News. And this report is probably a report that you're not going to hear about unless you hear about it from me. There might be some other people, but I doubt it. But this report is from RT News, where President Putin has thanked Donald Trump for information that helped to prevent acts of terrorism in Russia, which he made in a phone call. He called, President Putin called Donald Trump. He says that they talked on the phone with the Russian president and thanked his U.S. counterpart, Donald Trump, for sharing intelligence that allowed terrorist attacks to be prevented in Russia. This is according to the Kremlin. Now, it's interesting because as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler, all of these swamp creatures, little gremlins working for these elites to try to oust President Trump would love to utilize this probably in another article of impeachment stating that Trump colluded with Russia, you know, in some way, shape, or form. The Federal Security Service later confirmed that the information provided by their U.S. counterparts led to the arrest of two Russian citizens who planned terrorist attacks at public places in St. Petersburg during the New Year's celebrations. Now, they didn't give much more details than that. They just mentioned that there were a range of issues of mutual interest that were discussed in this conversation initiated by Moscow, and that the two leaders agreed to maintain bilateral cooperation in the fight against terrorism. You know, but again, ever since President Trump came into office, we know that the Democrats try to utilize Russia as a weapon in their war against Trump. They tried to make it look, remember, there were early statements that Trump made during the campaign. One was, yes, there were some emails that 30,000 emails that the FBI and nobody could conveniently find. And so Trump just mentioned, hey, Russia, if you happen to know anything about this, you should release that information. It was a joke, basically. He was being sarcastic, but yet they took that. And then the other big statement that, you know, Trump talked about was, it'd be nice if we could get along with Russia. Wouldn't that be nice, he said. You know, but this goes against the strategy of tension that the United States had for so many years to push the Cold War effort and then collapse Russia and so on. But these elites, they are feeling the tension now. But there's a lot I want to talk about tonight, because is Trump doing everything he can do? Is he really pushing hard? Is he really fighting as hard as he needs to fight? Does he really understand the battle that is coming against him? Does he understand the war? I think in some ways he does. But I think in other ways, I don't think that he's utilizing every asset, every avenue that he could utilize to fight these people. And one thing he has to realize is you can't compromise with these people. He's tried to do that several times, and all they've done is stabbed him in the back even harder each time. And he needs to stop compromising with these people, President Trump. You need to stand firm and strong against these people. Stand against them. Make your face as an adamant stone. They shall conform to you, but you shall not conform to them. You've got to make them understand that. And President Trump, if you're listening, you've got to speak specifically about directives, about policies, about anything that you're talking about. Make it explicit. Use specifics. Talk exactly with facts. Not saying you don't. But all of this, it's bad, and people are doing things, and this is bad, and you're talking too vague, Mr. President. You've got to be specific with these people and show them you understand exactly what you're talking about, because I know you have intelligence. I know that you understand what you're doing. But if that's your tool, then, you know, keep doing what you're doing. But I think that you need to be a little more direct with these people. Let them know what's going on. So in October, speaking about this article of President Trump giving vital information and the United States giving vital information to President Putin to stop terrorism in Russia, in October, the head of the FSB, Alexander Bortnikov, revealed that contacts between the security agencies of the two countries have intensified recently in cybersecurity and in other areas. And he said that the U.S. provided information about people who had been planning terrorist attacks in Russia. 2 years ago, Washington warned Moscow about a planned bombing at one of the main cathedrals in St. Petersburg, while Russia actively assisted the U.S. investigation into the Boston Marathon bombing in 2013. When was the last time you heard anything about that? And did you know that the U.S. and Russia have been in cooperation like that? Well, of course, you haven't known that because the way the left is, the way the Democratic Party is, we're supposed to be shutting down all ties and all contacts with Russia, period. Because Trump's a Russian agent, right? Alex Jones is a Russian agent. Everybody's a freaking Russian agent. If you don't agree and comply with the left, if you don't agree with the Democrats. By the way, if you would like to call in and you're listening, the guest call-in number is 319-527-6056. And I welcome any callers. We can talk. Let's talk about real issues, though. Although sometimes politics gets in the way of helping each other out, but not when the lives of innocent civilians are at stake, Christopher Phillips, head of the UK's National Counterterrorism Security Office, commented in the exchange. We live in such an interconnected world that the intelligence sources that the US has obviously got are also dealing with people that are planning incidents in St. Petersburg, he told RT. See, here's what, you know, these global elites, they're pushing for technocracy, new world order. They're pushing for domination. They're using technocracy, using scientific measures to control us. And there's all kinds of measures we could talk about, surveillance, smart grids, using soft kill weapons measures. The 5G thing is a big issue right now. The 5G stuff is like microwaving your brain. You think all this other stuff causes cancer? Wait till 5G starts kicking in. But these are all soft kill measures, the chemtrails, you know, and then they promote abortion. The Democratic Party is the hand of this New World Order agenda, primarily. The Republicans aren't totally innocent. But the Democratic Party, they are the left arm of the New World Order, pushing the soft kill measures, the abortion measures, all of the population control measures, eugenics, smart grids, surveillance, you know, all of these things, wanting to disarm us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, because President Trump, you know, we have kind of been rooting for him for the last 3 years, 3.5 years since he's been in office. And he has pushed a lot of things that he promised he would do during the elections. He's been fighting to build the wall. There are a lot of reports that say, well, he hasn't really built any new wall. He's only replaced dilapidated wall that's already been there. Whatever. He would have built new wall had these dumbasses let him. The same Democrats who wanted the wall built when they were in office, or at least claimed they did. This is the thing. They're good at talking, but are they good at actually following through? No, the hell they ain't. But right now, we have some issues that I think a lot of Americans who have supported Trump have questions about. One of them is Julian Assange, right? We and Roger Stone and Michael Flynn We want these gentlemen released from prison. We want them pardoned. They have supported President Trump. They pledged their lives and their sacred honor, essentially. And now they're being thrown to the wolves. And who's helping them? And President Trump needs to help them. President Trump, if you're listening, I'm saying you need to help these men who have helped you, who have fought for you. Will you do that, Mr. President? I don't know if President Trump is listening, but if he's listening, or if anybody knows how to get this to him, please send it to him and let him know. He needs to pardon these people. Regardless of what the Democrats say, because, yeah, they're going to come out and they're going to say, oh, he can't do that, this and that and the other, whatever. We're sick of, it doesn't matter what they think. People are sick of what they're talking. Do people really care that they're trying to impeach the president? Everyone who loves the president right now still loves the president. Everyone who has voted for the president still basically has said, we're going to vote for the president. And the ones who haven't, they're not going to. So it doesn't matter. The Democrats are only hurting themselves. They're shooting themselves in their own feet. There is an article, Bank of America, trends for the 2020s will be the end of globalization. This is a pretty good article. You got to remember that when President Trump came into office, what did he say? Americanism and globalism will be our credo. I will give President Trump credit where credit is due. He has fought a good fight so far. I'm not saying he's doing a bad job, but I am saying that there were mistakes made initially. As soon as he came into office, he should have cleared the swamp right then and got rid of everybody. Doesn't matter. This isn't about political correctness. This isn't about being polite, public relations with these traitors who are trying to put you behind bars, Mr. President. These people are lying sons of bastards who have used the intelligence agency, the CIA, the Department of Justice, the FBI, to try to get you put in prison, Mr. President. These people are not playing. This isn't politics anymore. This is a matter of liberty or tyranny. You know, this is what it is. And the reason for this is because in the eyes of the deep state, of the New World Order, these elites, President Trump basically has dared to suggest that the United States should somehow get along with Russia, could somehow negotiate with China, could somehow combat terrorism utilizing Russia and China. Maybe we could, you know, reduce the chance of nuclear war, that maybe we could negotiate international trade agreements that would be fair for everybody, as well as the United States, obviously. Of course, this pisses the elites off. This is not what they want. He comes in, the first thing he does is he cancels the Trans-Pacific Partnership, one of the big globalist agreements that they are utilizing to destroy the United States and other industrialized nations. And then he backs out of the Paris Climate Agreement, one of the things that Obama pushed. And these are two moves that are certain to threaten the international globalists and the central bankers. These two things. There's other things too, but these were two big things. These people do not like President Trump for those reasons. It's not because he's a Republican. It's not because he's a rich man, a banker, a billionaire. It's for none of those other reasons. Anyone who would come in and defy the agenda that they are pushing would become an enemy to these people. And this is the reason that they are attacking President Trump. And this is the reason we need to stand for President Trump, stand with President Trump. But President Trump needs to stand with the American people as well. He needs to fight for the American people. He needs to let the American people know that he is going to keep the promises that he made during the campaign come hell or high water, because he's the one that promised it, not us. And so that's why it's important for us to keep on him. It's called tough love. We need to let him know that he needs to do what he promised, or we're not going to vote for him again. I mean, the elections are coming up. I mean, we need to vote for him. We need to get as many people as possible to vote for President Trump this election. Anybody you know, we need to convince them and let them understand what is at stake. But the Bank of America is saying that one of the dominant trends for 2020 will be the end of globalization as countries increasingly realize that the phenomenon has brought unsustainable social disruption. How about that? Now listen to what this report says, because it's very important to understand this. It's important to understand because there are so many think tank groups that have been set up, such as the Council on Foreign Relations, such as the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the UN, all of these different organizations, many NGO groups and other things that have been set up to push globalization and the normalization of globalization to get you to think as a global citizen, not as a national citizen, not as a sovereign citizen of a country, but to think globally. But in this report, mapping out what to expect over the next decade, the Bank of America analysts said that largely unchecked globalization, which ran roughly from 1981 to 2016, is now coming to an end. He says this change will take place due to the widespread recognition that while globalization has meant lower consumer prices, it has also meant slower growth, precarious employment, and social disruption. This massive shift will make commodities like precious metals and real estate safer investments because governments will move to impose protectionist economic policies. Countries will develop explicit national industrial policies and boost spending on research and development to foster local innovation, protect nascent industries, and shield national champions from hostile foreign takeovers, the analyst said. The transhumanist pursuit of immortality will also come to the fore in the next decade, as will a new tech arms race between the U.S. and China, dubbed the SplinterNet. China, it says, will eventually win the race, according to them, allowing Beijing to reach national superiority in technology over the long term vis-a-vis quantum computing, big data, 5G, artificial intelligence, electric vehicles, robotics, and cybersecurity. Ubiquitous connectivity will also change the fabric of society, according to the report, with the Internet of Things embedded into virtually every new physical product, a development that critics argue will create an omnipotent Minority Report-style mass surveillance grid. Although the forecast is full of trepidation, the fact that globalism is coming to an end and that we will begin to see the possible reversal of mass immigration should offer hope for many on the right. Now, President Trump should be given credit for some of this, some of it, and we need to support him. You got to think about it. When President Trump came into office, what did he do? Let's go back and look at that. Let's look at that campaign itself. Look at what he did as a non-politician. If you think about it, I mean, he defeated all the GOP. It was like 16 candidates, establishment contenders, any one of which would have got in and pushed the same agenda, the left-right paradigm, as Carol Quigley talked about. And like I said, I beat it like a dead horse on my programs, but Carol Quigley, Georgetown University professor, mentor of Bill Clinton, and Georgetown University, obviously a think tank university, also a Catholic university. Carol Quigley stated that basically, if anyone should think that the two parties should be different, he said that's for academics and extraordinaires only, academic thinkers and extraordinaires. He said, but really, they should be so identical so that at any time when we throw one rascal out, the shift in policy will not occur. There will be no real potential shifts in policy. So what he's saying basically is no matter who we put into office under the left-right paradigm, the Democrat-Republican Party, they're still going to push all of the global agendas. They'll have some small arguments here and there to pretend to have a contention, but there'll be no real shifts in policy. And hasn't that been the case? Really, it has been in big issues that Donald Trump has tackled since he's come into office. Immigration, this global warming nonsense, UN agendas, global agendas, you know, all kinds of issues. President Trump has come in and he has rocked the boat. He has turned the light on in their little black operation orgy, clandestine, murderous, satanic ritual technocracy that they're pushing. And he beat Hillary Clinton, who was the main contender, who was the first choice for all these international globalists. That's why Saudi Arabia and them were pushing and sending so much money through Nader and Khawaja, the guys I was talking about the other day that got busted and now they're indicted, sending money to the DNC and through to get favors from the Clintons. It's all coming out. And if you think about it, think about how pissed these globalists are that Donald Trump came into office. I mean, they have had a hold on the White House going way back. Some could contend it was after Reagan, but it was before that. Reagan had elements of it. Bush Senior, Bush Jr., Clinton, Obama, all of these people primarily pushing the New World Order agenda. But Trump came in, he defied their political correctness. He defied them by threatening to replace this globalism, these multinational corporations and all of their borderless international organizations and open border nonsense with Americanism, with nationalism. And then you heard the news agencies all come out and try to akin President Trump to white nationalism because he said nationalism would be what we would push. Americanism, he called it. We will no longer walk to the false song or march to the false drum of socialism, he said, and globalism. This is why they hate him. But yet now President Trump is completely surrounded. And who is with him? And half these people who pretend to be with him, are they really with him? This is the thing that we have to be afraid of. This is the thing we have to be aware of, because people like McConnell and them, these people are lying freaking people. You can't trust them as far as you can throw yourself. You know, I mean, you remember when President Trump first got into office, Paul Ryan and McConnell and all of them were like against him, basically were saying they weren't going to allow him to push his agendas and so on. Now they're buddies with him. But now we've got the Senate hearings coming up. Now they're talking about having the Senate hearings. You got people in there for sure on the right, Romney and them, who don't like Trump. We got other Republicans coming out talking about, well, I'm not going to just make a decision yet. The hell are you talking about? You ain't going to make a decision. We can't trust none of these people. These people are snakes. These people are slimy creatures of the night, of the deep state. You don't know who is and who ain't. They're all out for themselves. And so we can't trust them to back President Trump when he gets into a Senate hearing. They need to throw that damn thing out. They need to say it was done unconstitutionally. They don't even need to entertain it, but yet. Now they're weaseling their way into saying they're going to entertain this. Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it, America. Whatever you wish for, you better be prepared to receive it. And damn it, I'm ready to vote President Trump in for another 4 years. I'm prepared for that. But you know what? I'm prepared for anything else too. And a lot of Americans are. We're getting sick of this crap. But I'm asking every American out there, are you ready? Are you ready? No matter what happens, are you ready? Are you prepared? Can you handle it? Because it's coming. I know you can hear my typing. I'm sorry. But I'm going to play what President Trump said. But I'm playing it for President Trump. I want him to listen to his own little speech. Here we go.
Who has heard the poem called The Snake? So I have it. Does anybody want to hear it again? You sure? Are you sure?
Hopefully you can hear this.
Okay. So let's dedicate this to General Kelly, the Border Patrol, and the ICE agent for doing such an incredible job. Right? This was written by Al Wilson a long time ago. And I thought of it having to do with our borders and people coming in. And we know what we're going to have. We're going to have problems. We have to very, very carefully vet. We have to be smart. We have to be vigilant. So here it is, Snake. It's called The Snake. On her way to work one morning, down the path along the lake, a tender-hearted woman saw a poor half-frozen snake. His pretty colored skin had been all frosted with the dew. Poor thing, she cried, I'll take you in and I'll take care of you. The border. Take me in, oh tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. She wrapped him up all cozy in a comforter of silk and laid him by her fireside with some honey and some milk. She hurried home from work that night, and as soon as she arrived, she found that pretty snake she had been revived. Take me in, O tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, O tender woman, sighed that vicious snake. She clutched him to her bosom. You're so beautiful, she cried. But if I hadn't brought you in by now, oh heavens, you would have died. She stroked his pretty skin again and kissed him and held him tight. But instead of saying thank you, that snake gave her a vicious bite. Take me in, oh tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, oh tender woman, sighed the vicious snake. I have saved you, cried the woman. And you've bitten me, heavens, why? You know your bite is poisonous, and now I'm going to die. Oh, shut up, silly woman, said the reptile with a grin. You knew damn well I was a snake before you took me in. Who had...
And so that was President Trump talking about that snake. He needs to listen to his own poem, people. These people are snakes. You knew they were a snake before you took them in, President Trump. You need to clear this swamp. You need to get these people out of there who are trying to depose you, if not worse. You knew damn well I was a snake before you let me in. President Trump knew that half these people in there were snakes. President Trump thought he was a snake handler. You know, but the snake handler sometimes gets bit, no matter how many times or how much he thinks he can handle the snake. You can't handle the freaking snake. You don't handle it. You get rid of it. But these elites thought that they were going to get Hillary Clinton in the election. They thought they were going to be able to do that. And some of the reasons they wanted to do that was because, think about it, they wanted to continue their drug trade, their arming of the cartels in South America, the continuation of the growing of the opium in Afghanistan. We've got Marines guarding opium in Afghanistan, people. We went there in, 2003 to get Osama bin Laden? Yeah. Now we're there guarding opium fields. Some of your sons and daughters are dying in the land of Afghanistan to guard opium fields for drug lords and for elites. They wanted Hillary Clinton in there to support the military-industrial complex. They wanted to continue the policy of perpetual war. That's another reason they were there, that they were hoping Hillary Clinton would come in. What did she say during the election? Oh, if Russia this and that, we're going to go to war, and we'll go to war with China. The lady's a nut. But she goes to the Council on Foreign Relations, as she said, so they can know what to do. She said that in a speech. She basically, in a speech at the Council on Foreign Relations, said, we're so glad that you're so close, because now, you know, we can come down and get our orders from you, basically. You'd have to watch it on YouTube. You can look it up. You know? And why did they want that strategy of tension? Because, you know, the bankers finance the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex supplies the bombs and the weapons and all these things to fight with. If you have peace, then you can't do that. Like Henry Kissinger said, peace is not sustainable. You know, and they could implode the economy and give more bailouts and send billions to their friends and overseas, and who knows where the hell all that money went. The last time they had one, they knew that they could print as much money as they wanted to. So, you know, what's at stake right now, people, is the very fabric of the United States. Think about some of the things Trump has been doing while he's been in the White House. Some of the things that has been actually destroying the New World Order. Look at all of the sex trafficking, human trafficking, the Me Too movement, the, you know, all of these things that have been exposed since President Trump has been in office. These things weren't being exposed. They were being exposed by the likes of Alex Jones and the InfoWars and other alternative news agencies, but they were not being exposed in the mainstream media, and they damn sure were not being prosecuted. But if you go back and look, I mean, Dime Corps was accused. There's several big agencies, the United Nations and others, that have been accused of all kinds of nefarious crimes, including human trafficking. But now people are going to jail for it, or they're being suicided for it. And now you've got George Soros. There's an interesting article that has come out in News Punch, the mainstream media. Well, it's not really, it's an alternative media, but it's a big news agency. George Soros fires a warning shot at Trump. He says, you are digging your own grave. So this notorious Nazi collaborator, George Soros, came out and described President Trump in an interview with The Guardian as basically his enemy. And he warned the president that he's, quote, digging his own grave. So is that a threat? Is that a threat, Mr. Soros? And this is a good article. I'm going to read through a little bit of it. Frustrated by his failed attempts to control the U.S. and global policy, Soros has issued a warning shot to President Trump amid Democratic impeachment proceedings in the House of Representatives, apparently holding out hope that they stand a chance of success. We know that Soros is pissed. Soros spends millions and millions of dollars of his money for left-wing organizations and left-wing movements. He destroys countries. He's a demon. It says, still licking his wounds after his failure to install Hillary Clinton in the White House in 2016, despite multi-million dollar funding, the wounded beast all but endorsed Elizabeth Warren for presidency a few weeks ago, claiming that she is the most qualified candidate. Could you imagine Elizabeth Warren running the country? Oh my God, please help us. Soros made it clear that President Trump remains his greatest nemesis while admitting that he has a big ego and takes pleasure in becoming a public enemy in sovereign nations that place importance on the existence of traditional culture, customs, and borders. This is what Soros said, and I read the whole interview. This is a condensed version to sum up what he said in his interview. George Soros hates sovereign nations. He's a globalist. He's pushing for a new world order. The billionaire has meddled in the national politics of Hungary, Poland, Russia, the United States, and the Ukraine, and now he is funding a blatantly undemocratic effort to undo the United States, the United Kingdom's 2016 referendum to leave the European Union, which the Guardian interview was centered upon. And it says the interview revealed that Soros's political front group, the Open Society Foundation, has budgeted the staggering sum of $185 million. And that's about the most he's ever spent on his political influence operations. So you see how desperate these globalists are, how much money they're pushing to overthrow the Republic of the United States and to totally destroy the United Kingdom. They got the new Boris Johnson, who did the Brexit. You know, he looks like Trump. he kind of looks like Donald Trump, too. Isn't that funny? You got Boris Johnson and Donald Trump, and they almost look exactly the same. It's funny. It's like Boris Johnson is the British version of Donald Trump or something. It's crazy. But it's certain Soros will also wage a cashed-up campaign to prevent president's re-election, although he appears hopeful that Trump will be impeached before then. So, people, Soros is a demon. He's 90 years old. He's going to be like another Rockefeller who just hangs around hoping for the transhuman, you know, breakthrough so he can be a cyborg and live for a million years. This is what these guys want. They want to be immortal. All the money in the world is not going to make you immortal, though. Not yet, anyway. But Soros has made himself an enemy of Hungary's Viktor Orban and Italy's Matteo Salvini, it says, both of whom have garnered significant support from their nation's citizens on a platform of forcibly opposing the globalist open borders vision oligarchs such as Soros intended to force upon their nations. These nations are waking up, people. President Trump, believe it or not, is a light. No matter how you take him, no matter how cantankerous, no matter how egotistical, no matter how pompous, no matter how much of a jackass he can be at times, he is waking these people up and telling them, have some dignity, people. And he's also saying, you're going to earn your keep. This is what these elites don't want. They want you to be a subservient slave. They want you to be on the dole. They want you to beg. They want you to be lazy. They don't want you to be intellectual. They want you to watch the football games and get your freaking food stamps and have as many babies as you can and just be a slob. Go smoke your crack. Go drink your drinks. Go smoke your weed. Burn your brain cells out and stay out of their way. The financier reflected on his life's work in the interview, admitting the tide has turned against his ideology of open society and worldwide populist movement associated with the rise of Donald Trump has gained the ascendancy, he says. Soros's long-term tactics, funding and controlling puppet politicians and puppet movements, have been exposed around the world, forcing the notorious billionaire to find new tricks to regain control and shape the world in his image. Because people are waking up. People are sick of this crap. And so George Soros is now, you know what's going on down in Virginia with the new blue state has been overran by the Democrats. And now they're pushing gun control measures. And so now George Soros's new PAC has decided to drop $625,000 on Virginia Democrats ahead of political elections. This is from the Free Beacon. A new political action committee launched by liberal billionaire George Soros has donated $625,000 to the campaigns of more than a dozen statewide Democrats in Virginia ahead of next month's elections. Obviously, they won. And so you see people say, well, George Soros this and George Soros that. This is from just before the elections. And he donated $625,000 to those elections to get these Democrat demons in office. And so Trump has a battle. He's pretty much defeated Mueller's attempt to get him through the Russian collusion nonsense, which came up as a nothing burger. But he also has to fight through this impeachment, which is, you know, a bunch of nonsense as well. But he needs to start arresting some people. He needs to start getting some people under investigation, real investigations, criminal investigations, where people get put in handcuffs and go to jail. And Devin Nunes talks about this. He talked about it in an interview that he had. And let me see if I can find that, because I'll play that real quick. Devin Nunes talks about people need to start going to jail. This is what needs to happen. This is the only way Trump is really going to get the deep state off of his back is by start putting some of these people in freaking prison. Start getting people out of the swamp, out of his office.
Joining us tonight, here former Congressman, former Chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Jason Chaffetz, also best-selling
Jason
author,
Chaffetz,
Fox
I'm sorry.
Business contributor. Jason, great to have you with us. Let's start with the most egregious act on the part of the FBI in this country's history that has surveilling a president, a FISA court judge, the supervising judge of that court system, saying they can clean up their act at some point near, but really should try hard, basically, is the way I interpreted it. Your thoughts?
I thought it was the weakest of responses you can possibly get from a court. Lou, if you or I or just anybody in the public made 17 serious errors and omissions in filings with the court, you'd probably have handcuffs on it and be going to jail. So the idea that they're just going to say, hey, you know, FBI, why don't you do better and explain that to us in a few weeks how you're going to get things right, I thought was as weak as you could possibly do. I can't believe there are no repercussions. There should be consequences. The court could do that and then also work to fix things moving forward. But I thought the response overall was pathetic.
Now, isn't it sad that we have to give her credit for at least recognizing, acknowledging that there is a corrupt issue here, a problem with the court system and the FBI, and then suggesting that somebody tell us how to do it better? I have one thought: disband the FISA courts and bring to account both parties who just authorized those FISA courts and their surveillance over the course for another 90 days, extending it in the midst of this scandal that is an atrocity against our Constitution and the American way of life.
Yeah, until you gain some confidence in it. The worry is there are some legitimate concerns of terrorists and other things that need to be continued on. But I got to tell you, the court could send a real message to the Department of Justice by putting some handcuffs on some people. Instead, you have James Comey out there, you know, working the media, putting out an op-ed saying he was cleared of anything that was any wrongdoing. I tell you what, how about holding people accountable that actually signed those things? How about holding the attorney who prepared an altered documents? How about bringing him before the court and throwing him into jail? The court has the ability to do that. They're choosing not to do it, and it's showing a weakness that is just unpalatable.
If I may, let's raise the ante. Let's take the leaders of the FBI, all of those officials. Let's take Glenn Simpson, his partner, Fusion GPS. By the way, bring into account the Democrats' favorite law firms. And bring them together and then reach out and extend our outrage to British citizens by the name of Christopher Steele, first and foremost, and bring them to account. This is a hideous atrocity. This scandal is, we are only beginning to learn the dimensions, and it's already the biggest in our country's history.
Yeah, the number you cited, only one instance in 2018 did the court say, no, we're not going to rubber stamp and approve that.
You're right.
It's really a stunning number. That's unbelievable.
It's incredible. And then, by the way, the FBI, the Justice Department, various intelligence agencies will come to us and suggest that, well, they've got to have those courts to keep. It's just unbelievable what we are putting up with in this corrupt system. And what we really have to put an end to. I want to turn to, speaking of corruption, the radical Dems and their efforts to overthrow this president.
Right.
And it is, the president today wrote a beautiful letter, a terrific letter to Nancy Pelosi, which she responded to by saying it was ridiculous, sick. In point of fact, it was elegant, it was comprehensive, and it put her and the radical Dems who have attacked this president mercilessly for over 3 years, precisely where they should be, and that is in the focus of history for decades to come.
Yeah, I hope everybody has a chance to read that letter. I thought the president really pointed out the flaws and the arguments. I think the president was absolutely right. I'm glad that he did it. And I know you know this, Lou, but I want to remind people at home, I think what Nancy Pelosi said in the last 2 or 3 days, when she was challenged as to why they're trying to rush this through so fast, Nancy Pelosi said, oh no, we've been working on this for like two and a half years. I think that showed more of intent and what they were doing, that the moment Donald Trump was being sworn into the president, this is exactly the playbook. They ended up not having the evidence because Mueller never produced for them. The Horowitz report destroyed them, but they decided to do it anyway. That's what's going to happen tomorrow on Wednesday, and it's a complete and total travesty.
It is that, and the debate, the vote to come tomorrow in the House. I have a nomination for you that may surprise you tonight for the Lou Dobbs Great American of the Week so far, and that is none other than Mitch McConnell responding to Chuck Schumer.
That's a first, isn't it, Lou?
This is a first, a glorious night, I'm sure, in the McConnell household. But this is what the majority leader said in response to Chuck Schumer. Let's just play this. The sound of the majority leader.
The Senate is meant to act as judge and jury, to hear a trial, not to rerun the entire fact-finding investigation.
All right, we're not going to listen to the rest of him. But my point is, people, that's exactly what needs to happen. Now you've got Judicial Watch, you've got Durham, you've got Barr, and there have been lower-level fish starting to be indicted, but we need some big fish indicted. We need people like John Brennan, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Robert Mueller, and even Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because we know they were all involved in this. It's coming out. The FISA violations, all of this stuff is coming out. We know who paid for the dossier. We know that the Hillary Clinton campaign, the DNC, was receiving millions of dollars being funneled through by Saudi Arabia and possibly the United Arab Emirates to get favors. We know about the Clinton Foundation. We know about all this stuff. There's an overwhelming amount of evidence of a coup attempt. But right now, the powers that be are holding the power and ruling and utilizing that power through the left. And so we're having problems because of that. And then you got Sleepy Joe, Joe Biden, who's still out on his no malarkey nonsense, no malarkey campaign, whatever the hell he's doing. But now he's talking about, oh, if I can get into office, I'll consider Barack Obama for Supreme Court nomination. People, you gotta vote for Trump in 2020. You gotta vote for President Trump again in 2020. The Wall Street Journal's Ken Thomas said that reporters asked Biden in Washington, Iowa, if he would consider nominating former President Barack Obama to the Supreme Court if he was elected in 2020, and he said yes, if he would take it. People. People, please. You've got to vote for President Trump in 2020. This is the David Knight Show. Listen to this. This is about
welcome back. I was just talking about
Joe Biden.
Singapore has now used their hate speech law, their fake news law, prohibiting hate speech, but I'm sure that's prohibited as well. But anything that they label as fake, and of course, who decides what is true and false? Well, they decide because they are the government, and so they have used this against their political opponents. Because, of course, their political opponents are not telling you the truth. They are telling you the truth, and they will punish their political opponents. That's how this is always going to go down. And so we got in Singapore as well, we have Barack Obama. Now, I wonder if they're going to come after Barack Obama for putting out fake news, because Barack Obama said this. He said, women are indisputably better leaders than men. How sexist is that?
Right.
He was speaking in Singapore at a private event on leadership. He said, now, women, I just want you to know you're not perfect, but what I can say pretty indisputably is that you're better than us men. I'm absolutely confident that for 2 years, if every nation on earth was run by women, you'd see a significant across the board in just about everything, living standards and outcomes, except, you know, those poor kids in Africa, they would not have any air conditioning. And then here is the subtext to all of this, because with the community organizer, it's always about politics. He went on to argue that older men in power are largely responsible for many of the world's most pressing problems. He said, if you look at the world and you look at the problems, it's usually old people, usually old men who are not getting out of the way. Old men not getting out of the way. Now, how can I apply that to American politics? Because that's what's really on Obama's mind, right? What old man could you think of that is not getting out of the way? Could it be Mr. Magoo? I think it definitely could be Mr. Magoo that he's talking about here, because he has trash-talked Biden in the past. Not a fan, as President Trump would say. Obama is not a fan of Joe Biden. It's important for political leaders to try and remind themselves that you're trying to do a job, but you're not there for life. Yeah, that's right, Mr. Magoo. Yeah, there's Mr. Magoo getting kind of creepy right there. But you're not there for life. You're there in order to prop up your own sense of self-importance or your own power. Ooh, he's looking at you, Joe. He's looking at you. And no malarkey about that either. And he's also dropping some hints about his wife. She's not going to get caught up in this train wreck of 2020. But, you know, 2 years down the road, she's going to solve all of her problems for us. Yeah, that's right. You can pretty much bet on Michelle in the next open election. But no, I don't know. I don't think she is foolish enough to try to jump into this thing, even with the train wreck of a Democrat field that they have. But, you know, we'll talk about women are going to solve all of the world's pressing problems. Well, maybe we ought to look at Finland, you know, where they have the Finland has now entered the millennial tribulation, because they have elected they're being run by a government of under 35 millennial women. And this is what the tribulation looks like in Finland, a millennial tribulation. 34-year-old interior minister and Green Party leader Maria Ohisalo, I guess is how you pronounce her name. She wants to, she is joined by Finland's Minister of Education, two-year-old leftist, left alliance leader, a self-professed Marxist. She understands animal rights. She just doesn't have any appreciation for human rights. Last millennial in the party leaders is the 34-year-old prime minister.
All right, let's stop there. But the point is, you've got Joe Biden now talking about possibly putting Barack Obama in as Supreme Court Justice. Come on, people. This is another reason to vote for President Trump in 2020. Whether you're white and black, whatever you are, you need to vote for President Trump. It's funny, too, because President Trump now has just declared the new Space Force, a new division in the military, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and now the Space Force. And, you know, of course, CNN and all these different news groups and all them would, you know, attack him. Well, this is crazy. He's retarded. You know, it's like, what does he think he is? But it's funny because astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson has come out in an interview, was on CNN, and he basically said that Donald Trump's idea to create a space force is really not such a bad idea. It's not a flawed idea. I'm going to play that interview real quick here. So, again, President Trump overall is winning, but it's going to take all of us people to back President Trump, but also to keep his feet to the fire of building the wall, We need to shut down the Federal Reserve System as well. I know that's a tough one nobody wants to deal with because these international bankers are more powerful. They're really directly tied to these elites and these globalists, and they've got power. It's like what one of the Rothschilds said, Mayor Rothschild. I said, as long as I control the money, I do not care who makes the rules or whatever. That's the big thing. That's one of the big, nobody will touch the Federal Reserve. Not a single president. I think the only one who sought to do so was John F. Kennedy and the CIA, thinking about shutting down the CIA and ending the Federal Reserve System or creating a silver certificate, and he was dead. So when you want to start taking on those people, the big boys, you playing with fire, but they need to be shut down. The country ran before a Federal Reserve System was established, and it would run afterwards. Might run better. But here is astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson on CNN talking about the idea of a space force President Trump has now initiated.
Thought about it, but I don't have a strong opinion. The idea of a space force is not fundamentally odd when you consider that the Army 70 years ago birthed the Air Force. There was the Army Air Force. And once we realized that technology and warfighting capabilities evolve,
and was going to take place up in the
In the airspace rather than the ground space, then it was sensible to suggest that perhaps this should be an entire branch of the military unto itself. So today, all space capabilities of the military are handled by the Air Force. That was the natural extension of what the Air Force people did. And it's huge. Air Force controls the GPS.
Right. Most people don't realize.
I know someone has a show called GPS.
most people don't realize that GPS, which is really now basically the underpinnings of the digital economy. I mean, everything
yes.
we do
yes.
in terms of location.
Billions of dollars of commerce.
Is funded on the back of an infrastructure sustained, run by the U.S. Air Force.
By the U.S. Air Force. That's correct. And there's an entire place where that happens in Colorado. The point is that we as a nation have assets in space of incalculable value. And so when you think of what a military does, as a minimum, they would protect a nation's interest, a nation's assets. And space is another place. You have the ground or the air, you have space. So it's not a weird idea to say we perhaps should have a space force. The question is, does the Air Force think that they can't handle it under the current administrative bureaucratic structures? And if not, then maybe it's a good idea. But if the generals say, we got this, then I don't see the need to force it on them.
What I also have noticed in the last few months is that the Chinese and the Russians have gotten more active in very interesting ways. So the Chinese went up and destroyed one of their old satellites.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians went up and essentially deactivated one. And I thought that they were, in some sense, signaling, you know, we have the capacity to go up into space and to screw around with stuff or to destroy it entirely. The fact that they could do it to theirs means they could just as easily do it to American stuff.
Every single thing you do in space is a capability. Okay? Can you send people into space? Can you dock in space? Can you spacewalk? Can you stay in space for months, for a year? Can you move a satellite? Can you destroy a satellite? Can you retrieve a satellite? All of this is you make note of this. So once you have this checklist, then yourself as well as your adversaries will look to see whether any of these can be sort of weaponized or used for nefarious purposes.
Do you think it's inevitable that space becomes an arena for conflict?
The UN Space Treaty, that promises peaceful uses of outer space. By the way, there's more than just no nukes in space. If there's an astronaut in need from another country, then you're obligated to assist them. It's a very nicely worded document. But there's a part of me that always says, why do we promise we'll treat each other nicely in space?
All right. So once again, you've got support from an astrophysicist who says, hey, it's not a bad idea. We have assets in space worth incalculable monetary value. And it is a matter of national security and so on. So President Trump, once again, has done a great thing. So with that, people, my point is we need to, if you're out there and you're listening, I would ask that you like and share this radio program with others. I want to read something. I want to read from Killing the Deep State. It's a book written by Jerome Corsi, The Fight to Save President Trump. And I want to read in the first portion of it. He says, we patriots must today resolve that we are once again the last best hope to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and fundamental freedoms we have been bequeathed as Americans. In moments of doubt, we must always recall the fundamental truism of our yet uncertain existence on this small planet. In the end, God wins. Let us persist in our resolve that by supporting President Trump, we have chosen to be on the right side of history. Let us join President Trump in making America great again with the help of God. We, the deplorables, pray we will be able to propel President Trump to victory in this project of killing the deep state that we have undertaken together. For Six Emperor Tyrannus News, I'm Mark Matheny saying, hold on, I'm going to answer this. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Let me make sure you like
to hear
on there. Go ahead. Yes, I can hear
you
fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Your headline says Putin thanks Trump for helping to stop terrorist attacks in Russia. So
yes.
I just got here, and I didn't know that if it's a recent event. But my opinion is it's pretty good for Trump to assist the Russians against their particular enemies, which may be our enemies. I don't know what your opinion is, but I came in to find out. So is your opinion the same as mine or different?
Yeah, I think that if you remember when President Trump first was running in the campaign, at one point he said, hey, we've got ISIS. We've got this big threat of ISIS in the Middle East, and we want to destroy ISIS. And he said, Russia wants to as well. And so he found common ground there. And he stated, you know, in public, he said, wouldn't it be nice to get along with Russia? Well, remember that right after that, before that too, remember when he attacked Hillary Clinton and he said, Russia, if you know where the 33,000 emails are, then, you know, turn them over. He was being sarcastic. He was being funny. But yet the mainstream media took those two things and then made him into a Russian agent, you know. And so my point is, we've had the strategy of tension going on for years. To keep this tension between the East and West, which is good for the military-industrial complex, which is good for, you know, a lot of reasons that these globalists want. And so by Trump coming in and saying, hey, I'd like to get along with Russia and China, you know, they're like, wait a second, they don't want this, you know. So by Putin, calling and thanking President Trump for helping in thwarting terrorism, obviously this is a good thing. I mean, I would hope that President Trump would call Putin if Putin called us and said, hey, we think there's going to be a terrorist attack in Manhattan or something, and we found out and intelligence information
as
given
a matter
to us.
Of fact, I think he did.
Well, I think so
prior
too.
Prior to 9/11.
And there were a lot of countries that were giving us information on even on 9/11, but we just, that's a whole nother show. So let me ask you. So you, do you agree that it's a good thing for the United States to get along with Russia?
I think everybody should get along with everybody, simply to minimize the arenas of conflict which are going on around the world, especially if you have nuclear arms. Now,
right.
Putin, he wants to conquer the world. So does China. So does America. So does Germany. So does France. Every major country has a history of trying to conquer the neighbors and conquer the world. That's the eternal holy grail for despots and dictators, and even for people
right.
in the Republic. But we should, as a civilized country, theoretically we're a civilized country, we should get along with at least the people who in 1.5 hour's time could destroy us. Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Now, so that's the whole thing, and that was basically this program will be recorded, and you can always go back and listen to the full program. But that's part of what I was talking about tonight is the fact that when President Trump came in, in my opinion, based on everything that I've studied and have known about President Trump since he ran for office and even going back in the years before that, President Trump has had a pretty consistent message of basically just he wants, from my view, he doesn't want to have these continuous wars. He wants to be at peace with other nations. He wants other nations to have a sense of self-respect. And in his UN, addresses and stuff, he said, look, we want to make America great again. But he said, but I want your countries to feel the same way. I want you to make your country great again. And now we've got Boris Johnson over in UK and with the Brexit thing going on. He reminds me of Donald Trump, like the British version of Donald Trump, by the way. But even with the hair. And it cracks me up because I said, wow, this is just funny, But the point is, I think the nations are ready for peace, and they are ready to do that. But yet you've still got the military-industrial complexes and the central bankers and these other – and these other entities that are so big and they're too big to fail in that sense, they were hoping for Hillary Clinton to get in so they could continue their wars of aggression and their military spending and their conflicts and so on. And so they don't like this whole idea that this man would come in and say, look, we're going to have some secure borders. We're going to start making these other countries pay for their security. We're going to stop these wars. They've got, the drug trade and the child trafficking. Trump has been attacking all of these tentacles of this.
Say is to the people who are the critics of Trump is that they're lucky I'm not president, because I would have not only built the wall, but I would have put up 50 caliber machine guns, and anybody who crossed the Rio Grande or touched our soil, they would die.
Well, I'm a vet.
It's also
so
the right of the president to do so.
Well, it's a national security issue too right now. I mean, if we can go over and guard borders in other countries, then we have every right to guard our border when we have a national security concern, when we've got drug cartels coming in, when we've got child trafficking.
Only 2 years ago, Pelosi and Schumer, in particular, they were crying out to have not only a wall, but to have enhanced border securities, because the immigrants were going to take jobs away from the American people. And now, two years later, now that Trump wants it, they've changed their minds, and the American people don't seem to see that. I blame two entities. the corrupt, well, three, the corrupt politicians, the lobbyists who make them corrupt, and the American people who are so stupid that they allow the corruption to continue. But also, in the same breath, I will say, I don't blame the American people as much because we've been dumbed down and propagandized and hypnotized by the propaganda and the media and the public school system that most Americans born in the last 30 years, they don't know anything. They just want free, free, free because the government
right.
keeps telling them.
Right.
You know, the government's there to protect, provide, the big daddy in the sky.
Like Rome, like the bread and circuses, you know, these guys, yeah, they want to watch the football game. They want to get the food. You know, they're not concerned. And then that's the funniest part is you'll always hear people say two things I don't talk about is religion and politics. And I always say, well, maybe it's time we do, you know, maybe it's time that we start doing that because we would be in a much better place. We don't always have to agree. We can agree to disagree. And, you know, that's one thing that I have. You know, that I always tell people, look, I want to hear your view. Even if I don't agree with it, I appreciate your view, no matter what it may be. And if I can do that, and then you can listen to mine, sometimes maybe you'll be compelled to understand what I'm saying and say, you know what, I think you're correct. Or you might say, well, I don't agree, and that's fine. Or I might say, well, you know what, you have a few good points as well, and I think that you're correct about those things. Then it opens that opportunity for them to then listen to what I have to say as well. But the media, like you said, the propaganda machines, they are pushing this agenda to divide and conquer, and to create division, because out of that chaos they want to bring their order. And so that's what they do. They bring about this, and they have the same tired retreads of racism, white nationalism, and you know all the nonsense that they bring. But and then they got that girl Greta Gump, you know, how dare you, you know, with her nonsense. But you know it's entertaining almost at some points. But the reality of it is
well,
not
when
so.
When you brought up Greta, I was thinking about AOC. And AOC is a stupid person, but see, she's one of the people I don't blame for her policies. She's a graduate of Boston University. She was probably picked up by some people who wanted to make her the figurehead of the new radical left. And she probably thought that she was doing America a favor. I don't think she has a bad heart. What
right.
I do think is that she's been propagandized.
And that's the
she's
thing,
been taught
too. Go ahead.
She's been taught by the liberal professors at Boston University. And as a matter of fact, if my memory serves me right, for the majority of the universities in America, I think something like 90% of them don't have a Republican on their staff. So all they're teaching is the liberal left, which is nothing more than Marxism and socialism. And this is nothing
right.
more than just an extension of what the House of Non-American Activities found about 30, 40 years ago about the influence of Russia and communism in our country. They've taken a foothold and they've spread like a cancer to the media, to the public school system, to the university system, and just about any place else. And especially Congress, because it only takes $20 and you have a congressman in your pocket.
Right. Well, you know, in the National Education Association and all these things, yeah, obviously they have set these things up. The globalist think tank groups like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, all these things were set up to push this whole idea of globalization and, you know, how good it is and how good socialism is and these things. And obviously, like you said, in universities and things, they are teaching these things. Hillsdale College and stuff, those are anathema to, you know, most of these people, conservative views and ideas. And then they're even trying to rewrite history to get most Democrats to forget the fact that the Democrats were the ones with the Jim Crow and the KKK and all of these things. and to push phony flip. Oh, it all of a sudden it just flipped, you know. And so the whole premise of the show tonight was to show people, like, look, President Trump is pushing hard. He has pretty much tried to keep the promises he made in the campaign for the most part. There is one concerning thing that's going on right now with the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. It's almost like the North American Union with the Trans-Pacific the Trans-Texas Partnership and so on, or Texas Corridor. To me, it's dangerous because in a lot of ways, Nancy Pelosi and them came in and over jumped it and then put it a bunch of amendments and basically called it the new NAFTA agreement, which was what Trump got rid of. And so a lot of people, I don't think, are aware of that. And I've done a show on that and I've talked about it and things. But there are some dangers to it because there is the danger of these NGO groups and stuff taking over the policies of it and pushing more international policies. And they've tried to make it more, instead of a trade agreement, the Democrats have attempted to make it more of an environmental sustainability agreement. And that's the danger of it, because then it ties in with Agenda 2030 and so on. But
the
other
UN.
Than that,
yeah.
Yes. But other than that, like I said, Trump has been hard against the UN. He has condemned these organizations. He's condemned the Pope. I mean, he's pretty much got everybody pissed off, which is good, because what did Jesus say? I call him Yeshua. Jesus said, if you were of the world love you, but because you're not of the world, because I've called you from the world, for this reason the world hates you. And so these global elites, I shown a program the other day, or Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich was on TV, and he was on Fox News, I think it was, and they asked him, I think it was Sean Hannity asked him, you know, why do these people attack Trump, and why is the establishment against him, and so on. And Gingrich said a profound thing, but I don't think a lot of people caught it. But he said, Trump is not part of the club. He was not a part of the initiation. He did not graduate from the secret societies. And that struck me because, you know, a lot of people don't understand the groups like the Skull and Bones that Scott Bush and George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. graduated from. George Bush Jr. ran against John Kerry, his own cousin, who was also a Skull and Bones member. You know, a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah, he's also a Skull and Bones.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't realize.
In fact, when they were interviewed, they wouldn't even talk about Skull and Bones. They said it was
right.
So secret,
yes.
They couldn't talk about it.
Yeah. He said, no secret, we can't talk about it. One, you know. And but a lot of people, I think, glossed over them what Newt Gingrich said. And it's a very profound statement, though, because this is exactly the reason right now, with the Epstein thing going on, with all the human trafficking groups being busted, and, you know, and of course, Epstein being put to death. I mean, for a reason, because he was like a cog on the wheel to all of these elites and to tons of people with blackmail lists and so on and so forth, that they had to get rid of this guy in order to keep their, you know, part of their secret organization secret still. But a lot of people, I don't think they're really aware of that, because, like you said, they watch the mainstream news, Communist News Network and MSLSD and the Washington Compost and all this crap that they watch. And these people just feed the whole idea that Trump's a Russian agent and, you know, he sought to undermine the Constitution and all this nonsense. And he's a racist and a misogynist and homophobic, Islamophobic, and every other kind of phobic there is. And but people never have any substantial evidence, including the two articles of impeachment, you know, which are full of hot air, basically. So.
Well, yeah, they've had four separate against Trump. Huh?
Where are you calling from?
Montana.
Oh, Montana. Okay. Well, we're in Columbus, Ohio. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. I'm glad that you decided to listen. But yes, do you have any other comments on anything that's going on, or any other things you'd like to say?
No. I just wanted to find out what your opinion was about the cooperation between Trump and Putin. I happen to think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I
hope,
I
didn't vote for Trump the first time around because I thought he was too much of a megalomaniac to have his finger on the red button. But he's proven that he can restrain himself. And so he's tried like crazy to maintain and to acquire his promises, to fulfill his promises, rather. And he's done a lot to do so. So I'm going to vote for him this time. I just hope he's, he doesn't fuck up.
Well, me too, obviously. But I do. I appreciate that. And everybody out there in Montana that try to get them to see that. I think he's held up pretty well concerning all of the onslaught of attacks against him on a daily basis. Who can you trust? I mean, I would have been him as a billionaire, I would have just walked out of the White House and said, screw you guys. I'm going back to Mar-a-Lago and just live out the rest of my life. But to me, it shows for him to give up his paycheck. I know it's only $400,000 a year. That's a lot of freaking money. I don't make $400,000 a year. I don't make that in 3 years or 4 years, but this man is giving that to charity. He's working hard. He's got an onslaught of attacks against him. He don't know who he can trust and who he can't. And yet the man still stays in office and does what he can do. And he's done way better than half of these jackasses. And so I'm voting for him in 2020, and I'm praying for him every day. And we as patriots, I mean, these leftists that are in office, if they say Trump is crazy, he's sane compared to these people with the policies that they're pushing. You got people in Virginia right now talking about taking everybody's guns. You got militias forming. I mean, this is what it is. And but what really needs – what Trump needs to really do, he should have done as soon as he got into office, was to push the swamp out. He should have just got all those people out. But since he hasn't, he really needs to push Barr and Durham to start criminal investigations and start arresting people. As Jason Chaffetz said, or played a clip earlier tonight on there, people need to start getting put in handcuffs who have been, doing wrong. Comey and all of these guys that have, were involved in this, they need to start going to jail. That's what they need to start doing. Otherwise, there's going to be no credibility in government. There's not going to be any accountability. And we're going to have worse things happen than this in the future, because there's not going to be any accountability. And that's the problem. And that's going to be the destruction of our Constitution.
Well, I happen to be a libertarian, but I'm not in favor of it, because a lot of people say we have to get back to the Constitution. Well, I say, no, we don't. I say we have to change the Constitution, because if we go back to it, then we're going to be subjected to the same policies that were granted by the Constitution, such as Article 1, Section 8, the General Welfare Clause. 90% of the laws that Congress passes is as a result of the Article 1, Section 8 or Article 1, Section 7 with the Commerce Clause, because they're doing everything to promote the general welfare of the people. I say we take that clause out. I'm going to leave the rest of the amendments in, and then we can have a decent constitution. Because I'll tell you now, I could have written up a better constitution than the one that we have. Because it doesn't matter if you have 4 pages of a legal contract or 4,000 pages. If you've got 1 or 2 clauses that make the entire rest of the contract almost null and void, then the rest of the contract is almost null and void. And with the Article 1, Section 8, it gives Congress too much power. So I would like to get rid of it.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. Because before the Constitution, we had the Articles of the Confederation, right? Basically, which was a little more privatized to the different states. So, good points.
Yeah.
Yes, Congress does have a lot of power, and we need to limit that as much as possible. It's a necessary evil, as even the Founding Fathers said. So, We need to take back that power and give it to the people. So, but I'm going to get ready to sign off. I appreciate you calling in. And
okay.
Anytime we're on, you're always welcome to call. If you know anyone else that would like to call in, I always appreciate it. Anybody you know that would like to listen to programs in the future, and you can always go back and listen to some of them in the past and kind of get an idea of what I talk about, too.
Sure, no problem. All right, well, take care. Have a good rest of the weekend.
All right, you too. Bye. So, appreciate the caller calling in. This is Mark Matheny for Six Emperor Tyrannus News saying, protect your own rights, people. Be aware of your rights, because if you don't, no one else will. Thanks for listening.
Now I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.